Hi, I'm Tom Zalatni.
And I'm Tepper Ajemian.
And you're listening to the No Bad Food Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. This is a show about great food and the people who love to make and eat it.
Our mandate is simple: to explore, taste, and learn about food in ways that celebrate all the things that make it great. Every week, we dig into a different dish, meal, ingredient, cuisine, or piece of food media, exploring the history and culture around it, sharing favorite recipes, and learning from our wonderful guests. The only rule?
You gotta love it.
After all, there's no such thing as bad food.
Before we dig in, we'd like to take a minute to acknowledge that the studio where we're recording is situated within the traditional and unsurrendered territories of the Ganyangahaga First Nations. As settlers, it's important that we remember that the lands we occupy are not our own, and that we engage in conversations that challenge the colonial mindset. We want to encourage you to take some time today and every day to reflect on your relationship with the land you live on and with the Indigenous communities of that area. This is our first episode back after Munch Madness 2024, which means we started planning this episode before we knew who our champ was going to be this year.
Now, we just came off of a nail-biting finale with a tiebreaker between chocolate and rice. Mm-hmm. And if there was one thing I heard unanimously throughout this finale is that it was a hard one. Mm-hmm. Rice and chocolate are both just beloved food groups, and it is really hard to pick. Now, rice did win by a hair due to, I think, its versatility and economy, really. That's something that came up a lot. And just the comforting, like, childhood nature of it.
Sure.
But if one thing was clear, it's that the people love them both.
Yeah.
And so what better thing to talk about today than a beloved childhood favorite of my own, beautiful combination of chocolate and rice, the Nestle Crunch Bar.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we knew we were going to have to talk about either chocolate or rice this week. So we said, screw it. Let's talk about both. We're going to talk crunch. For those of you unfamiliar with the Nestle Crunch Bar, it is a very simple chocolate bar. It is chocolate, milk chocolate.
Yep, milk chocolate.
With puffed rice inside it that gives it a nice crunch, the titular crunch, if you will.
And there's just something about it. Like, it is a simple, simple bar.
Yeah.
But something about that crispiness, something about that crunchiness, I just love it.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because it's not the only chocolate out there that does this, right? I don't think that it was necessarily the first, even. It may have been.
To be crunchy and crispy or to use puffed rice?
To use puffed rice. Like, it might be. I don't know. But it is the one that we think of when we think of that, you know? It's, like, iconic for what it is.
Arguably, I think a lot of people don't think of it. I think the Nestle Crunch Bar is overlooked frequently.
Sure.
And I really think that's a shame. I love this chocolate bar.
Yeah.
I would say what really got me sort of on the Nestle Crunch train was actually, this is going to go back to my young adult book review days.
Sure.
This wonderful book called Gingerbread by Rachel Cohn, which Caddy and I reviewed, and I was just so delighted that Caddy liked it as much as I do, because it's a real, oh man, it's just such a good book, and I highly recommend that you find it, read it, and it's sequential books, Shrimp and Cupcake. But in Gingerbread, she talks about having a king-size Nestle Crunch Bar with espresso.
Sure.
And I was just like, that sounds great. And so I tried it. I had been, I think kind of what got me started with that was I went to France with my parents when I was 17. And when you go on the TGV and you order an espresso, it comes with a little bit of dark chocolate and you can dip it into the espresso and eat it. And I was like, yes, Nestle Crunch Bar with espresso sounds great.
Sure.
I'm sure the people on the TGV would pass out or whatever because they're snotty French people. But be like, Sacre bleu, you do not eat Nestlé with the espresso. Not on my train. This was a very Italian French person. Maybe they're Provençal. That works too. But yeah, they're really nice. Yeah. They really work together. And like, let's be honest, it's not the best chocolate.
No.
It's really not. Sure. Like, I would say a Hershey's bar is better chocolate than a Nestle Crunch bar.
Yeah.
But it's just that puffed rice. It's There's really just nice. That Rice Krispie element.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So this is interesting. So I looked into it, and Nestle Crunch, from what I can tell, it is the oldest, at least like branded chocolate with rice in it. Okay. I would be willing to believe that probably someone poured some chocolate over puffed rice at some point before that and was like, wow, this is delicious. But Nestle Crunch, 1938, the first that I could find in some quick searching about which one was the original. It is no longer strictly owned by Nestle, in that Nestle sold it to Ferrero, who are the makers of Nutella.
Okay.
About 5 years ago, I want to say. But it's still the Nestle Crunch Bar. The thing that I want to ask you about, and this is something that comes up with our guest who we're going to talk to in just a minute, but you weren't on that call, so I want to check in with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference in terms of which kind of Crunch Bar you eat? Do you like the classic flat boy? Do you like them a little thicker? Do you like the little Halloween fun size ones best?
So I always love a fun size.
Sure.
I always love a fun size. I think you saw a little look of horror across my face when you said something about chunkier. And no, I don't think they should be like that.
Okay.
I think Crunch Bars should be thin.
Sure. Fair enough.
The way they are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting because I tried this week. This is upsetting. Toby, our lovely five-year-old, came into the room when I was talking to our guest, Daniel, who, again, you guys are going to hear from in a minute, about the Crunch Bar. And then, of course, Toby wanted to know about the Crunch Bar. So I said, okay, let's get one. You can try one. And I let him try it, and he did not like it. He liked the crunchiness of the rice, but he thought the chocolate was kind of gross. And it was not the best chocolate. It was
not the best chocolate. Like, I'll admit that.
The flavor of the chocolate itself was not the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of understood where our five-year-old with a less nuanced palate than ours was coming from.
Or possibly a more nuanced palate. Like, I will admit that a lot of my attachment to crunch is nostalgia.
Sure. But I think that I can appreciate a slightly less, like, sweet and less, like, you know.
I mean, I think it's less the sweetness and more the texture. Like, it doesn't have that smoothness. It's not a smooth chocolate.
Yeah.
It's not a glossy chocolate. It's not well-tempered.
No. And it's weird because it's, like, bitter, but it's supposed to not be, like, dark chocolate, you know? Like, it is supposed to be a milk chocolate, but it has the bitterness I associate with dark chocolate almost. I don't know.
Maybe.
Nestle Crunch is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a chocolate bar that I think is like the most delicious in the world. The next day, though, we tried the Nestle Cookie Crunch, or like Nestle Crunch Cookie. I don't remember the exact name they gave it.
Something about a crunch and some cookies.
I believe a crunch biscuit, maybe.
Crunch biscuit. Why is that so much funnier?
That actually might be it.
That phrase is just biscuit. Infinitely funnier.
No, that actually is what it's called. There we go. It is the Nestle Crunch Biscuit Bar, which swaps out the puffed rice for chunks of cookie. And I'm not going to lie to you, that one, much better. Better chocolate flavor. Better size, better thickness, better crunch factor, but it felt a little wrong the entire time I was eating it. I was like, this doesn't feel like a crunch bar anymore. It just feels like a better chocolate bar than the Nestle Crunch.
Crunch biscuit sounds like a term of endearment.
Yeah, a little bit. Like you're my little crunch biscuit.
Crunch biscuit.
Yeah. Toby's review of that one was that it was much yummier.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that.
So, and I don't disagree with him, but I think, yeah, I don't know. I've had a lot of puffed rice chocolate because it's a popular thing with like Italian chocolate as well. And I guess technically the Crunch Bar is owned by Ferrero now, so maybe that's...
But it's still brand, it's still marketed as the Nestle Crunch.
Yeah.
It's still on the wrapper.
Yeah. Anyway, it's popular in Italy too. There's Italian chocolate with rice in it that is also delicious. And I think the Crunch Bar just isn't the best version of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm imagining like a really good, well-tempered, creamy chocolate with crispy rice in it. And that's significantly better.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our opinions on this don't matter as much as our candy expert guest.
It's true.
That we got in here.
Yeah. Before we throw it to our guest, let's throw it to ourselves in the mid-roll.
I catched it so well. If you're enjoying the show so far, make sure to describe.
Make sure to describe it to your friends in excruciating detail until they say, okay, okay, I'll listen. Just stop describing this podcast to me.
Also hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to on that you're listening on so you never miss a new episode because then you can describe that one to your friends too. While you're at it, consider leaving a rating and long-winded review on Apple Podcasts or sharing this episode with a friend. You'll just all your friends. For every new rating and review we get during the month of Gaperl, we'll be donating $2 to the Depot. Every month is Pride Month, our local food bank here in NDG. They can turn every $1 into $3 worth of food for a family in need. So by leaving a review, long-winded or not, and a rating, but only a high rating, you're functionally donating $6 worth of food to people who need it. That is like 1.5 Nestle Crunch bars.
Ooh, I got crazy news for you. They're actually even cheaper than that. You can get like 2 or 3 for $6.
Damn, you're feeding the masses.
Yeah.
There's literally no other way to throw crunch bars to the poor. So if that math is exciting for you, go do it. You can read all about what the Depot is doing in the link in the description of this episode.
The food banks need crunch bars. They need them.
The masses howl for crunchy rice.
They do. Look, folks, if you like this show and you want to be part of the community around it, I would highly recommend going and checking out our Patreon, where you get access to our exclusive newsletter, the No Bad Food Recipe Club, and our Discord server, where we post new recipes for you to try out and share with your friends and family. If you're not already a member of our Patreon, please consider joining up at patreon.com/nobadfoodpod today.
I literally got a message about rice pudding while we were recording this episode. That's how popped off our Discord is.
Should we put rice pudding in the turtle's butt as something we can potentially do an episode about
I really later? Don't think you should put rice pudding in a turtle's butt or anyone's butt. That sounds like a really bad idea.
Look, he's into it, okay?
There's some things you just shouldn't do.
Don't yuck his yum.
I never consented to this aspect of the show.
On that note, let's throw it to our guest, Daniel Zaffron. All right, folks. Here to join us today on No Bad Food is the one, the only Daniel Zaffron, host of Candy is Dandy, a podcast about candy.
We discussed my introduction before this, and this is what we discussed, and still hearing you, I'm like, yeah, I guess that is me.
That is you. You're the candy man.
I'm the new, say my name 3 times, and I might, I don't know, Beetlejuice shows up. I don't really remember what happens in Candyman, but yes.
I feel like there's something with like a mirror or like a haunted bathroom or something.
Yeah. That sounds like me. So yeah, I'm going to say yes. But yes, thank you for having me here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. You are our first post-Munch Madness guest of 2024, which is exciting. Now, the topic that we brought in today to talk about is one that feels extremely serendipitous because our finalists for Munch Madness this year were chocolate and rice. And I thought to myself, what can I schedule for immediately after the finale that will apply no matter who wins?
Rice. How I wished it was rice and I could just come and talk about rice.
Well, rice did win.
Oh, really?
But we are here today to talk about chocolate rice.
Yeah.
Rice chocolate? I guess rice chocolate feels more, I don't know.
Yeah, chocolate rice implies that the rice is like, not brown rice, but brown rice. And it's rice that came from a brown cow. And it tastes like chocolate. But yeah, chocolate rice sounds about right. Chocolate plus rice.
That is, of course, my thinly veiled way of saying today we're talking about the Nestle Crunch Bar,
right.
Which I found out just, you know, in preparing for this episode, is not the Nestle Crunch Bar in the States where you are from.
Are you in the States or are you up north?
I'm up in Canada.
Okay. Yeah, it is Nestle. They sold off the right, which was, I was glad about, because with all the controversy with Nestle, when we did our Crunch episode, I was like, oh boy, here I have to go praising the good people at Nestle. But thank God they had sold that off. But yeah, it's just Crunch. It is kind of weird, but it's just Crunch now.
It's just Crunch. Yeah. Well, and I found out that the new owners of Crunch in the States are essentially Ferrero, who like make delicious international chocolate.
Who also now own like everything.
Yeah. And look, when we talk about chocolate, like it's almost a guarantee that there's some like unethical, shady shit happening behind the scenes. But like, at least Ferrero's chocolate is like higher quality than Nestle's, so I feel a little more okay about it.
You know,
almost.
It is, but more child labor. No, it isn't. I don't know. I don't know. I can't say one way or the other. I'm just putting that out there. But the thing, though, with the Ferrero is like, yeah, it's higher, you know, supposedly higher quality stuff. But they also took over Butterfinger and sort of tried to elevate the Butterfinger. And that kind of ruined the Butterfinger for me, because I feel like the gross junkiness of the Butterfinger is what's good about a Butterfinger.
Yeah, I mean, like, hot take, I think that's what's good about most chocolate bars, right? Is that they're kind of like junky, and that's what we want them for, you know?
It is. While I can acknowledge, like, this is not high quality food, I still think it's great.
Yeah, and that's kind of the, like, that's the driving force behind this show, right? Is the idea that, like, there is no bad food. There are bad practices in food, as has been alluded to. Unfortunately, it looks like Ferrero does also use a decent amount of...
with the hazelnuts, I think.
Yeah, less than well-paid labor is how I'm going to put this.
That's fair.
But the food itself is not the evil thing, you know?
Right. We're the evil thing for eating the food.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
There's no bad food. There's just bad people.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, though, before we talk too much about the crunch, let's talk about the Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about yourself. Tell me about, you know, where you grew up, what you grew up eating. You know, give us a picture of you as a person who consumes.
Oh, boy. Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, California. What did I eat? Well, my first day, I had a little bit of milk. I grew up... If we want to specifically focus on candy stuff, I definitely grew up eating a lot of candy, because my mom has an extreme sweet tooth, and her mom had like a sweet mouth. Like, she could not eat too much candy. It was outrageous, because her dad owned a candy store when they first came to America. And so she would just like get, or was it her? Yeah, it was her dad. And she would just like get candy all the time, all day. And towards the end of her life, like, she would walk into the, because she lived with my parents, and she would walk into the kitchen and like try to sneak an entire bag of like Hershey Kisses, like one of those giant family sized bags. And she could just eat chocolate. And she lived to be, I think, 98 or 99. And she was just eating chocolate all the time. And that, I mean, that's a glimpse into my future.
I think there's something to that, right? Like,
that's what they say.
If you just eat lots of chocolate, it's really good for you. You can live into your 90s just like Granny Sweetmouth.
Yeah, it like turns you into a human Twinkie, and you just never expire. You have so much sugar inside of you.
I do remember like hearing a lot of stories back in the day about how like one little piece of chocolate per day extends your life or whatever. And like, maybe it's because I'm an addict, so I can't do anything in moderation. But to me, that seems hard to believe a little bit.
Yeah, but then I've heard it. I've heard people say like, you need to eat a pound of chocolate a day and you'll live forever, which sounds great to me. But like, I don't know who's putting that study out. It's Nestle saying that.
That's cursed. I like that idea a lot.
But yeah, I know. Like, it is. It is very much an addiction. Like, I try very hard, 'cause especially having a candy review podcast now, like, I try not to eat too much candy when we're not recording. So, but it's really hard. Like, if I say like, I'm not going to have sugar for 2 days, like, I feel at this point, like, I feel like something is missing and I need sugar. It's crazy.
I was listening to an interview a little while ago with a like major, I think it was like the New York Times like top food critic, you know, and a restaurant critic rather, and like he was saying, you know, because I have to try so much food and eat so much food, sometimes it can be like really disenchanting to eat food the rest of the time, right? And sometimes it's tough to like, I think if you eat food professionally, your relationship to food really changes in a way that like people don't think about until they're doing
it. You know? That's also something we've noticed in doing the show is like when you, because so many times one of us has come in like, this is my favorite candy and you're all gonna love this, and when you sit there eating it in a vacuum, which we record inside of a vacuum. Yeah, it like when you have to really sit there and think about it, it's like, do I like this? Like, do I like even the concept of this? Like, do I like any of this? Like, when you really have to think about it, it makes you question what's actually good.
Yeah, 100%. I work in a restaurant, and so I taste test things constantly, right? And, you know, anytime we get a new product in to sell in our store section, I'm like, I try something, right? And the number of times where I've tried something and been like, this is fine.
Yeah.
What is this missing? You know, what is the note that this is missing? Or why do I like this slightly less than this other product that we have that's like a dollar cheaper? Like, what's going on here, you know? And I think 9 times out of 10, it with that kind of stuff, it just ends up coming down to like, is this seasoned enough, right? Mm-hmm. Does this maybe just need more salt and pepper? But with candy and chocolate, every time I try a new chocolate, because of course, you know, it's an Italian place, so like, I got access to the good stuff, right? There's
Crunch Bars, Butterfingers.
There's Crunch Bars, basically, is the only chocolate we sell.
A classic Italian treat.
Made by Ferrero. There actually is a decent amount of chocolate with rice in it in Italian chocolate as well. And like every time I try a new chocolate from Italy, I'm like, okay, like this is great. Do I want to eat more than one of these in one sitting?
Yeah.
That's, I think, changed my relationship to chocolate in a really significant way, because I used to have the same thing where I would be like, okay, I got to eat chocolate constantly, right? I want to eat like a pound of chocolate a day so I can live forever and become my very own Granny Sweetmouth. But now I'm like, okay, I'll have like one little hazelnut chocolate a day and be like, this is satisfying and I'm happy and like, I don't need more.
This is growth. I'm proud of you.
It feels like
this
growth.
Whole time we've been recording, I've been shoveling just liquid chocolate into my mouth.
I am worried about you.
Everybody is. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. For Easter, my mother-in-law got these Italian, like little, I don't know what they were, but they were little Italian chocolate eggs that had crisped rice in them. And yeah. They were so good. They were better than any Crunch Bar has ever been. I have no idea what they're called, but they were delicious.
It was probably the Serini chocolate eggs. That's, does that sound...
I'm about to describe what an egg looks like to you. It looks like an egg. Sure, it looks like a little egg, and it was like green or yellow or pink wrapper.
Yeah, I think we're thinking of the same thing here. Those are the greatest chocolate eggs.
They are so good.
Ever. They're really, truly incredible. We go through a lot of those at Easter at the store, and
it was a revelation because compared to let's see this link that looks, the wrapper's different. It was something with an S though. I do know that.
Well, they do have a few different ones, Serini, so it's possible it was the same brand, but just a different those are crazy good.
Yeah, it was those, smooth.
You get that like really nice smooth chocolatiness to it, but it still has the crunch from the rice.
That's what I like so much about chocolate and rice, is it's kind of the perfect texture in a candy. Nuts are fine. Like peanuts are, I like peanuts, but like almonds, I'm sick of almonds. And like peanuts aren't as crunchy as rice is. Cornflakes are not quite as, like rice really is the perfect texture in a candy. Yeah.
Just while we're on alternative crunch factors in chocolates, have you tried I think it's the Reese's Big Cup with chips inside it?
I haven't.
It's not good.
That's what I heard that the chips get kind of stale and almost like chewy, like, maybe
it's unpleasant, and it doesn't add anything to the chocolate. Like, it adds a kind of slight salty flavor to it,
right,
which is nice. Like, I do like that in a, especially in a peanut flavored chocolate.
Yeah,
but I think they would have been just as well off using maybe just puffed rice and like
that. Now that would be something, puffed rice inside of it, because I find that all of these Reese's, like the big, even just the standard big cup, kind of ruins what the balance of a Reese's. And it's not really like we found that the miniature is kind of the best form. And that's that's all I need. Like, all of these varieties are fun to see, but like, all I need is a miniature Reese's cup.
Yeah, 100%. Well, have you tried the the Trader Joe's dark chocolate peanut butter cups.
Yeah, those are good too.
Yeah, those are like the that to me is like the gold standard, but I understand like Reese's is, you know,
yeah, they're the McDonald's. They are the McDonald's of peanut butter cups. And yeah, I can't argue with it.
I still love them.
Yeah.
They're not the best one, but they're still there and they're delicious.
I think I gave Reese's mini cups maybe the highest score I've ever given on the show, but I acknowledge like there is something better out there. I just haven't found it, but I know it's out there.
What would you say is the best application of chocolate and rice that you have had? You know, is it the Crunch Bar? Is it the Serini egg? Have you just like made a chocolate sauce and poured it over white rice?
I took like the fast drying turtle shell chocolate and just put it on a mound of white rice and said, delish. look at how great a chef I am. The best cut, you know, we actually just tried because Ghirardelli makes their version of a Crunch Bar. Mm-hmm. And because in a Crunch Bar, a lot of the rice tends to, again, much like the potato chip in the big cup, which is my new children's book, it kind of does, it loses its crisp and becomes more kind of chewy rather than crunchy. Mm. But the Ghirardelli version maintained its crisp, and that was very good. Definitely better than a Crunch Bar, because, you know, Ghirardelli chocolate is great. And they somehow managed to keep the crisp to it, which was really nice.
Is that the intense dark chocolate crispy rice squares?
That's the one we had. I might have preferred maybe milk chocolate rather than the intense dark, but the texture was all there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Ghirardelli is they make really, really good stuff. Like, I'm not surprised to hear that that was like a top-tier thing.
I have yet to find it's certainly a better American chocolate than Ghirardelli. I think they're wonderful and that they should sponsor this episode and send me more liquid chocolate buckets that I can shovel into my mouth. But I also kind of prefer a Crackle over a Crunch Bar as well, maybe.
Okay.
Those are very underrated.
Crackle. I don't think I have that one up here in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's probably called something crazy. It's called a Smarties for you or something.
Everything's called Smarties for us.
They typically are only around during Halloween. Speaking of Halloween, what part of Canada are you from? Or are you in?
I'm in Quebec.
Okay, so you don't take part in Halloween appling?
Appling?
I have to, by the way, the cat's here behind me.
That's okay.
I have to ask every Canadian I meet, because apparently in Alberta, instead of saying trick or treat, people say Halloween. They go Halloween apples. You knock on the door and say Halloween apples.
That's terrible.
Oh, well, that's Alberta.
No, see, in Quebec,
you say it in French.
Yeah, but they don't say
Halloween.
They don't say trick or treat. They just say Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
They just greet people with
Halloween. It's terrible. It's dumb. You want to know what's worse though? A holiday we just celebrated last week, April Fools. You want to know what April Fools is?
Oh, is it the Le Jour de Poisson?
Yeah, it's the Poisson d'Avril, the April's fish. And
you put
the entire joke of it is that you're supposed to tape a fish to the back of a person as a prank. Yeah,
I did a year abroad in France. Oh my God, my cat. I did a year abroad, and we're talking about fish, and of course my cat wants to be a part of this. I did a year abroad, and they taught me about the fish thing.
Yeah.
And apparently my teacher, when she was young, they taped a picture of a fish to the back of her teacher, and the teacher didn't notice and like wore the same clothes for 3 days, just with a fish, a picture of a fish on their back the whole time.
That's no good.
It was an upsetting story.
That's an awful way to find out that your teacher is kind of crusty.
Yep. Well, the fish was on her. Yeah, but the Crackle, it somehow only appears in fun sizes on Halloween. Okay. I don't really know why, but maybe that's what makes them so good, is that they're so hard to find.
Well, and like, I think you've talked about this on Candy is Dandy before. Fun sizes are kind of often like a perfect
yeah,
version they, of the thing, right?
That's what I was. That's what I feel about Crunch Bars is that, because there's actually two different kinds of fun size for a Crunch Bar. And one of them is just like a shrunken down version of a Crunch Bar, like the thin thing. But then there's kind of like almost like a Lego brick sized version where that's kind of like tall. And I feel like that is the best type, the best version of a Crunch Bar.
Ah,
it kind so of
it's thicker then.
It's thicker, and it kind of I don't know. It makes it, maybe it's less crunchy, but it is more satisfying that way. It's
sure.
I don't really know why.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think it's funny. Like, I'll sing the praises of the Sereni rice egg forever, as like maybe the perfect expression of this. But like that being kind of smooth and almost like melt in your mouth. It is one perfect expression, but then I almost feel like because the Crunch Bar is usually thin, you know, I actually kind of feel like that's also perfect. To me, this like brick-sized one sounds challenging in a way that I'm not really ready for.
It's,
I don't know.
Have you had those? Do you get those up there? Are they called Smarties?
Yeah, we actually call those Reese's. It's very confusing. I've never had the brick ones. For us, it's always the flat boys. And I love a flat boy. Like, give me a crunchy flat boy on any day, and I'll take it.
You've got to try. Next time I scream Halloween in French with a French accent, I've got to somehow get you some of these chonky ones. But I don't know why, because maybe it's I don't know, maybe it's because I feel that the rice in it is less crispy and less kind of not chewy. I don't really know what the word I'm looking for is, but there's more of it in the thicker ones, and it kind of leans more into that texture that it actually is rather than what it's aspiring to be.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I could see that being like, I could see that being a plus for it. You get a better experience of the texture of it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. You're selling me on it.
Well, actually, you know what? There, a new challenger has just entered the ring. What am I talking about? The best form of a Crunch Bar is Bunch of Crunch. There's no denying that.
What is Bunch of Crunch?
Oh, man, you don't have Bunch of Crunch. They're called Smarties by you. it's like little clusters of Crunch Bars.
Oh.
And they are the perfect movie snack,
sure,
for an American.
I could see this being perfect. I can imagine what this feels like in your mouth, and it's got to be.
It is. That is the best way, because it was made specifically to be sold in movie theaters, and it wasn't even sold outside of movie theaters until like 2012 or something. But like it was designed to be eaten in a movie, because I've learned that the best movie candies have a texture, and the texture of the Crunch Bar is like, because you can't really see, you're just shoveling in what you're eating. That's why popcorn is so good in a movie theater. So it's just, this texture is just right for a movie.
Yeah. No, I mean, this seems really perfect.
Yeah, that I think is the best version of a Crunch Bar.
I would believe
that. If you
could
call it that.
I think you can. I think at that point, like, it's the same spirit of chocolate and rice, at least, you know?
Yeah,
it's just a different format.
An exploded Crunch Bar into a box.
Yeah, exactly. Before we wrap up, I want to play a little game with you.
Oh, yeah.
I am going to read you four slogans for the Crunch Bar. One of which is made up.
Okay.
You need to guess which one is fake.
I am ready to make a fool of myself.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm gonna give you the four all at once, and then you tell me which one you think is the fake one.
Okay.
Crunch, for the kid in you. Sounds crunch, familiar. It's crunching time. Crunch, munch now, munch some later.
What?
Crunch, music to your mouth.
Okay, I'm pretty sure music to your mouth is a real one. I that sounds so familiar. And what the first one was,
for the kid in you.
For the kid in you. That one also sounds familiar. The second one is it's cruncherin' time or something.
That's the Fantastic Four tie-in.
Yeah.
It's cruncherin' time.
The crunch.
It's crunching time.
It's crunching time. And then what was the third one again?
Munch now, munch some later.
See, that doesn't make sense. I don't know why. It's not like, I don't know why they would want you to save it for later. They would want you eat one now, buy another one later would be more accurate. If that
well, they're trying to promote moderation here.
Right. How responsible of them. I'm going to say that one's fake because that doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't lend itself to saving for later.
Which one? Munch now, munch some later?
Munch later.
That's your pick for the fake one.
I'm going to say that's the fake one.
That one is real. It's what? Terrible. It doesn't sound good and it doesn't make sense, but it's real.
But what? Like, it's not like it's a huge candy bar. Why are we saving it for later?
Wish I could tell you. I don't know. But the fake was, in fact, it's Crunchin' Time.
No, but that one's too good, especially with the new Fantastic Four movie coming up.
Nestle, hire me for slogan writing, please.
Nestle or Marvel, hire. Please hire.
If they don't eat at least one bag of Bunja Crunch in the new Fantastic Four movie, I'm walking.
But if they do, you are also suing.
Yeah, 100%.
Either way, this movie's going down. I don't understand why they would want us to save it for later. Unless it was meant for like a mega sized crunch bar.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who saves candy bars?
I don't like.
Well, because it's also, I don't think, unless maybe they do in Canada, I don't think they have like pre-portioned pieces on a crunch bar. So it's like you're biting into it, and then to wrap up your slobbery crunch chocolate and let it fester for a few hours and then eat it later? That's disgusting. This is a disgusting slogan.
Maybe they went with munch some later so that they didn't have to go with wrap up your slobbery chocolate and let it fester.
I don't know. There's a ring to it.
That's actually taken straight from the new Fantastic Four script.
Has something to do with the stretchy guy. I don't know.
I wonder, do you think the Thing has a favorite chocolate bar?
I'm going to say a whatchamacallit is the Thing's favorite candy bar. Do you have that in Canada?
No.
It's called Smarties.
What is a whatchamacallit?
I don't really know what it is. It's literally called a whatchamacallit, and then there's like a sister candy to it that I think is called a whoozy was it?
You could be making this up right now.
I know. I wish I were, but this is real, and I don't really know what they are.
Looks like the whatchamacallit is peanuts, caramel, and chocolate chips? Chocolate crisps. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that is either.
That sounds... Chocolate crisps to me sounds like rice.
A little bit. It probably is.
Actually, maybe texturally, that might be what this is. That looks nice.
Maybe like honestly. Cocoa... Cocoa Pebbles. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I'd eat it.
I've definitely eat that. But what about a whoozy was it?
No, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
You've drawn a line in the sand here.
I have to somewhere. I have to set my limits, you know? Daniel, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of No Bad Food to talk about the Crunch Bar. Do you have any final thoughts on Crunch? Tell me all your thoughts on Crunch.
You know, it's one of those dark horse candies where it maybe isn't a top pick, you know, but it's in the same level for me as a Twix bar, where like this is a good junky candy, and yet it's never my go-to.
Sure.
And for that I apologize to Crunch.
This is a hot take for me. I think Crunch is better than Twix. I think the flavor profile of Twix is so close to being something that I would like, but every time I eat one, I feel bad afterward. And when I eat a Crunch, I just feel like I've eaten some chocolate that was fine.
Yeah, I could see that. I think both of them have just something missing, and that's maybe why they're not top tier for me. And that might just be peanut butter is what I'm missing.
Look, I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. The best chocolate bars are ones that have peanuts in them. Maybe with rice. Maybe we need both.
Maybe
for that ideal crunch situation. But like, I'm an O. Henry guy through and through.
I don't think I've ever had an O. Henry, to be honest. They're here, but they're not very common.
Okay.
And weren't they discontinued?
The O. Henry that I have here in Canada is apparently sold by Hershey in the U.S. under the name of Rally Bars.
I have never seen that in my life.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently it's been discontinued and brought back
as a rally
times.
Bar. Like rally, North Carolina, or like a sports rally.
We actually call it Smarties North Carolina here. No, like a sports rally.
Smarties North Carolina.
Stupid.
I have never seen this, and I don't know. I don't know what Canadian propaganda website you're on to try to make America look stupid. Or as you call it, South America. No, but yeah, I think that there is a candy bar out there like that I think peanut butter, chocolate peanut butter and crisped rice although maybe the peanut butter might overpower it, but I think there's something there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We need the crunchy, we need the salty, we need the, you know, it's got to have everything going. It's got to be busy.
It's got to be over. My grandma will have to want to eat many of these.
That's it. If it's not good enough for Sweet Mouth, it's not good enough for the rest of us.
Old Meemaw Sweet Mouth, we would call her.
I feel a little bad about that. I feel a little bad about nicknaming your grandma Sweet Mouth, but that's where we are now. Oh, boy. Do you have anything you want people to check out before I let you go?
Well, check out Candy is Dandy, the candy review podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, you'll hear all sorts of crazy comparisons to Canadian candies in those episodes. We talk about Halloween apples so much on that show because it was so fat. Like, there's a weird fascination with Canada we have, I'm finding. But now I need to run by them or tell them all that in Quebec they just yell Halloween.
It's really bad. It's really cursed and terrible.
That is outrageous. But so yeah, terrible. Check out Candy is Dandy wherever. If you like candy, you'll enjoy it. It's fun.
It is fun. I'm going to second that. It's I don't remember if I said this before or after we started recording, but yours is one of the like most fun shows that I listen to on a regular basis. And if you're listening to this now and you enjoyed this conversation, you will absolutely love Candy is Dandy.
You will. And if it was on the air when you said that before, let's keep it in twice because
there we go.
I love hearing it.
Gonna double it up, you know. I'll link specifically to, you guys did an episode about the Crunch Bar.
Yes.
Probably about a year ago, because I think it was the first one that I listened to when
right.
we met.
Yeah.
So probably around then.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So I will link to that in the description of this episode for ease of access. I laughed hard enough that I wheezed while listening to that one the first time, and then I had to re-listen to it. really, really fun. Go check it out. Do you have any social media you want people to follow while we're at it?
I mean, the only social media I do is for candy. Actually, if you like, I do these little autopsy videos of candy on TikTok. It's at Candy is Dandy Pod, I think, is the account. And I literally slice up a candy bar and it's just like a minute history and review. I definitely did one on Crunch, but it's I get so much joy out of slicing up candy on camera.
That's amazing. I need to actually get on TikTok one of these days.
No, you don't.
I know. Oh, I shouldn't.
It's not it's potentially going to be banned in the United States, so you're okay.
Are we still on that? Is that still maybe happening?
It's advancing to the next it passed the House of Representatives. It is now waiting approval from the Senate, and if that gets passed, then the president will say banned.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but either way, whatever. I'm fine with it. I'm fine without it.
Sometimes the world just kind of breaks me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better they could be working on in the government than whether or not TikTok should be banned.
It is kind of crazy that is even a topic of discussion, but apparently it is.
Oh, my God. Well, on that beautiful, somber note... This has been Daniel Zaffron from Candy is Dandy here on No Bad Food. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you. This was fun.
Oh, man. Thank you again to Daniel for phoning in and being our guest expert on this week's episode of No Bad Food. What a guy, what a pal, what a great time that was. For those listening, truly, if you have not yet listened to Candy is Dandy, you really need to go do it. Every episode is extremely fun and brings me a lot of joy in my week. I just today, on the way home from work, was listening to their most recent episode where they did the Jelly Belly Bean Boozled thing, where you got the jelly beans that maybe taste like good stuff or maybe taste like vomit, which is not something I ever want to do. And because I never want to do it, it's that much more fun to live vicariously through the Candy is Dandy crew. So again, go check out their show, and thank you again to Daniel for regaling us with his thoughts on crunch.
Just speaking of crunch briefly, how do you feel about ASMR?
Like, it's not for me.
Okay, because I was thinking about Nestle Crunch ASMR, but I had a realization recently about ASMR. Mm-hmm. When they've started doing it in ads now, like on Spotify, they'll start doing ads whispering and just being like, it's the ASMR experience or whatever. And I have recognized that not only is it not for me, it is the opposite of for me. When I hear ASMR of any kind, I become filled with an irrepressible rage. I become furious. And just thinking about the Nestle Crunch Bar made me think of this. You can edit this out if you want.
I won't.
But whenever I hear just the crinkling paper, the tapping nails, or the snap, crackle, pop on the mic close up, I want to flip tables. I want to scream. I'm so angry. I guess it's maybe a form of misophonia, but maybe we also don't have to diagnose everything. And I just want to tell all those marketers that actually ASMR is not for everybody, and some of us hate you.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. You know, I have no problem telling the marketing team at Spotify exactly how I feel about them. And that is, thank you so much for listening to the No Bad Food Podcast. Do you want to be part of the conversation? You can hit us up on the socials at No Bad Food Pod and individually at Teffer Bear and at Tom Zalatni. If you like this episode and want to help us make the show even better, you can head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod to donate. For as little as $1 a month, you'll be joining the ranks of fine folks like Chantal H, Gab, Erica, Andrew, Chantal T, David, Mallory, Sarah, Carolyn, Rachel, Aslam, Anne, and Eric. Our patrons get access to all kinds of awesome perks, including the ability to request topics for episodes of the show. If that's exciting for you, you can head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and make it happen.
We also have merch, and you can hit the merch link in the description of this episode to get all sorts of great stuff from our friends over at the Podcavern. And of course, you can support us for free by leaving a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice and by sharing this episode with a friend. Our theme music is by Zach Crunch Biscuit Ingalls, and our cover art is by David Granny Sweetmouth Flam. You can find links for both of them in the description of this or our other episodes.
And last but certainly not least, this show was produced by me, Tom Zalatni, and you, Teffer Ojebian, and edited by me, Tom Zalatni, as part of the Podcavern Network. You can find out about all the great shows on our network at www.podcavern.com. We'll see you next week, and in the meantime, remember,
there's no such thing as bad food. You understand. It just takes a little time. It takes a little time. It takes a little time with me. I hope you don't mind. We'll take it slowly. Time, you know, I'm well worth the wait.
No Bad Food is a proud member of the Podcavern Network. For more great shows like this one, head to podcavern.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to live in a city full of superheroes? To literally see people fly across the sky? Crap.
What are you up to, Angus?
Oh, hey, Sal. I'm trying to record an ad for the podcast.
Heroes Don't Do Paperwork?
Yeah, that one.
Need any help?
Yeah, actually. I'm just trying to tell people about the show, about how you and I work at a newspaper in Super City, and how we interview various citizens, from the people we call neighbors to the city's greatest heroes. But I'm having trouble wording it.
You could just use that section you recorded and put that in.
Huh. Yeah, I suppose I could. Thanks, Sal.
Don't worry about it. I'm off to the office supply store. It got hit with a shrink ray, so everything is 50% off. Want to come?
You know what? I kind of do. For those of you hearing this, if you want to hear more about the thrilling adventures and heroics of Super City, come check out Heroes Don't Do Paperwork on the Podcavern Network. All right, let's go.
Hey there, I'm David.
I'm Tess.
I'm Giovanni.
And I'm Greg.
And we're Left Trigger, Right Trigger, your video game book club.
Each episode, we pick a topic, and each of us brings a video game that we think best fits that topic.
Tune into the show to find out how Super Mario Land is all about travel.
Or how Bloodborne is a game about sacrifice.
Or how SimCity is actually a conspiracy to mine data about human infrastructure.
No,
we
Greg,
have to stop that.
No,
we're
not doing
data.
This right now.
And
this, we're doing a it's a promo. Please stop.
Intrigued? A little scared? Us too. Make sure to catch us every other Tuesday on your favorite podcatcher app. See you there.